Hello and welcome to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett.
It's in the midst of doubt that you strengthen your faith.
Have you ever wondered how it is that some people can be just so confident that there is a God? If pressed, could you offer proof yourself? Drawing on historical and scientific evidence, Dr. Corbett lays it all down for us tonight as together we explore 5 proofs for the existence of God. Let's join Dr. Corbett now.
We live in an age where people think they're really smart, and they think they're so smart that they don't think the Bible is true or Christianity is true at all in any way. And I know that you're going to confront this, and I know that you're going to meet people who think that because you're Christian, you're automatically stupid. Now just look at the person beside you. Are they stupid? Of course not. Sheesh. So, I want to present, in light of this, I want to give you 5 good reasons why we know that the God of the Bible is actually credible and will withstand any scrutiny. I hope that you can just hold these 5 things and just remember these 5 things. So next time someone says to you some ridiculous comment like, how could you believe that? You'll be able to go, well, I've got 5 really good reasons why I believe what I believe. Now, at the moment, you'll be aware that there are atheists such as Richard Dawkins who are travelling the world spending millions of dollars promoting the idea that atheism is the only reasonable way to function as a person. That if you're a Christian, you're unreasonable. If you're a Christian, you're not a thinker. If you're a Christian, you accept things by faith. And this is the little trick they do. It's a little word trick. It's to take that word faith and make it mean something that it doesn't actually mean. Because a lot of people think if you've got no evidence, you need faith. And that's not true. Faith is not believing in something because there's no evidence. That's called stupidity. Because faith is exactly the same word as trust. You don't trust someone when you have no reason to do so. If you know Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says faith is the, who knows what the next word is? Evidence of things hoped for. It's evidence. There's reason for it. So I want you to understand that when people attack you for what you believe, there's good reason for you to be able to say, now hang on, I've got some reasons here for what I believe. So I just want to talk a little bit before I give you 5 really good reasons why we know the God of the Bible is true and reliable. I want you to understand the nature of proof. Anyone ever read the Chronicles of Narnia? Okay, I've read all 7. In fact, we read it as to my 4 children as our dinner time series of books. So after our evening meal, we'd pull out each book. We went through all 7. And in The Magician's Nephew, which is the first in the series of the Chronicles of Narnia, if you've read that book, you'll know that there's a scene where the children and Uncle Andrew are caught up into the very beginning of the creation of Narnia. And C.S. Lewis wonderfully paints this picture. Here's the children, and they're seeing a lion, this huge lion come up through this, just over the horizon, sunset. And the lion opens its mouth and out comes, the children say, the most beautiful song they've ever heard. Meanwhile, Uncle Andrew's got his hands over his ears going, ugh, what is that horrible lion's roaring? It hurts my ears. And C.S. Lewis says, 2 people can look at the same thing, but with totally different eyes. 2 people can hear the same thing, but with completely different ears. And so, perhaps you're a Christian here today, And you don't know if you really believe this. I hope today changes your life. Perhaps you're a Christian here and you've been bombarded with doubt. Doubt is quite okay because it's in the midst of doubt that you strengthen your faith. And doubt can actually be healthy because it's when you have doubt, you seek answers to questions. So I want you to understand this. Faith and reason are not opposites. You've got your faith, says the atheist, but I've got reasons. That is just unfair. That's playing dirty, because that's not true. Faith and reasons are not opposites. The Bible actually doesn't say, look, we can't offer you any evidence. We haven't got any proof for this, so just believe it anyway. Be a very short little Bible if that was what the Bible was about. But the Bible actually gives a lot of good reasons to believe what we believe. So I've got this little picture here. So faith and reason are not opposites. In fact, if you see, faith is the ladder and it's on the ground of reason. So what you believe, you've got to have reasons for it. Swap that word faith for the word trust. Do you trust your best friend? Do you trust someone? I hope there's someone in your life you trust. And surely you trust them because you've got to know them. You've got reasons. There's something you know that causes you to go, yeah, that person's trustworthy. So faith and reason are not opposites. In fact, faith is grounded in reason. Sometimes people say to us, well, you haven't got any proof for God. There's no proof. And this is where we just need to ask a couple of questions. Firstly, here's the first question. What kind of proof would be sufficient? You know, if someone makes a claim, says, well, the only things that can be proven true are that which can be proven by science or mathematics. Is that statement true? Because that statement cannot be proven mathematically. I don't know a science test you can put on that statement. In other words, so that statement is wrong, if that statement was true. Do you get that? You see, when people say, you believe in God, give me the proof. Okay, I'll give you 5 really good proofs. And you need to understand how this works. See, if someone made a claim that they can run 100 metres in a certain time, would you use a map to prove that claim? Not really. Would you use a tape measure? Well, you might need a tape measure to prove it, but you're probably mostly going to need a stopwatch. And this is where understand the different type of claim is going to require a different kind of proof. When we say we believe in an invisible God and someone says, oh yeah, show me. It's like, what is it about the word invisible that you didn't get in primary school? What proof can we offer? Well, I think there's 5 really good proofs. But here's the first thing. Before we look at proof, there are going to be some things we are all, in fact, I'm going to say nearly everything, we are going to apprehend before we comprehend. Apprehend, comprehend, what's the difference? Well, apprehend means I can see it's working. I know it works. Comprehend means I don't know why. So to apprehend something is, yep, that's working. That's it. There it is. To comprehend is to understand why it is. So we apprehend before we comprehend. So hopefully when you were a little bit smaller, your parents said to you, please do not go and put a fork in a PowerPoint. Now, you don't have to understand the physics of electricity. You don't have to comprehend that if you did that, it would be very bad for your health. And by the way, that picture, I didn't create that picture. I just got that picture off the internet. And I just thought, oh, that's good. I like that. Electricity tickles. Hey, kids, try this at home. No, don't. Don't try this at home. Because you apprehend that if you go and put a fork or a knife in a PowerPoint, you're probably going to die unless you've got those little flicky things. I could explain the technicalities of it, but flicky things will do for now. So we apprehend certain things before we comprehend. And I notice that sometimes when I present these evidences, these proofs to people, they go, oh, yes, okay, but. And I go, I heard a yes in there. I heard a yes, there is a God, but I don't like him. In fact, Christopher Hitchens, when he was alive, he died a few months ago. He was one of these guys that was really angry about Christians and Christianity. He said, there is no God and I hate him. Let me just take you back to my picture, which I thought you saw and you didn't see, but it's this one here. Richard Dawkins hired buses and went around. He's gone around the world. He's hired buses in London and Washington, D.C. I was in Washington, D.C. and I saw one of these buses going around. Got this sign that the newspapers put up the top there. There's probably no God, so stop worrying and start enjoying your life. I tell you what, if there's no God, I think we've got a lot to worry about. The idea, no God, stop worrying. Hey, I tell you what, the fact that there is a God causes me not to worry. All right. So, the nature of proof. You need the right tool to test a certain claim. You need the right tool to test something that someone claims to be true. All right, so here we go. Here's five good reasons to believe in the God of the Bible. Number one, everything has a cause, and a cause cannot cause itself. You hear a knock at the door. Do you think the knock knocked itself? Of course not. Someone caused the knock. If you see something has a beginning, it requires a beginner. If there is a big bang, which I think there was a big bang, a moment where everything began, the big bang requires a big banger. Sheesh. Someone says to you, I think the universe created itself. Really? It's a very little simple question. How? Well, it just, no, there's no it. There's no it. There's nothing. Well, it, no, there you go again. The universe could not have created itself. It could not have caused itself. Everything that has a cause everything is an effect, has a cause. So a knock cannot knock itself.
You're listening to the Five Proofs for the Existence of God with Dr. Andrew Corbett. For related material, we invite you to view the website findingtruthmatters.org.
Notice this. It says that when he utters his voice, the very smallest thing is actually a vibration, a tiny little vibration. And this is called string theory. That these atoms holding this thing together, if we were to actually see what this is, we would see this is just a whole bunch of vibrations holding this together. Scripture declares he holds the universe together by his word. The ultimate vibration. Everything is held together by the word of God. The world's leading string theorist is a man by the name of Brian Greene. When he presented this and began to explore this, people began to say, hang on, you're saying that the very first thing, the thing that is everything is like a sound wave? He said, yeah, that's what it appears to be. Now they're all going, well, who spoke first? And Brian Greene, knowing that you meet a lot of opposition, if you go, well, gee, guys, you ever read Genesis 1:1? It says, in the beginning God spoke and it all... And so he doesn't say, well, it's God. He says, well, I guess the only thing we can put the little strings that hold everything together down to is a grand organizing designer. G-O-D. You notice the last part of that verse or in there, it talks about wind. He brings forth the wind from his storehouses. You ever wondered why? Have you ever seen a picture of a, a,
of a cyclone from the satellite. It kind of starts out over one of the poles, South Pole, North Pole, and it kind of swirls and gets bigger and then hits the around near the equator. And something... You ever wonder what's going on there? Scientists now know that unless that happened, the equatorial belt would get so hot, the Earth would heat up and we'd all die. And that when hurricanes and cyclones come, he ordains the winds to come out of their storehouse. It actually cools the Earth. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? In fact, that's just the water systems of the world. Next time you see a tsunami, all the debris, nutrient debris from creeks flows into streams, flows into rivers, flows into seas, and then eventually makes its way out into oceans. And about every 100 years, every ocean experiences an earthquake on its seabed. And it's only where the bottom of the ocean goes like this, about a metre, 2 metres tops. It's not real big. But the result is everything that's decayed and rich in nutrient at the bottom of that ocean is stirred up, and a little tsunami or a big tsunami happens and it's redistributed out through the water systems of the world, thus maintaining life on planet Earth. How did Earth know how to do that? How did Earth know that it had to do that? How did the hurricane know it had to come from the North Pole to the equator? How did that happen? You see, God says he ordained it. If you're looking for proofs for God, there must be a first cause. You know, even Richard Dawkins now says, everything on Earth has been designed for life. But this is what Richard Dawkins says. But it couldn't have been done by God. Can you see the logic there? Yes, everything's been designed. I'll tell you right now, if everything's been designed, chances are you need a designer to make it work. If something's designed, there must be a designer. God declares, I wisely designed everything that exists. Now, that expression that God created the heavens and the earth with understanding, that means intelligence, and he stretched out the heavens. Now we could read that and go, oh, that's just, yeah, and big deal. Well, I hope to show you that it is a phenomenally big deal that the Bible makes this declaration that the stars and the planets have been put in place and stretched out. If you know anything about astronomy and cosmology, you would know that the heavens that we observe right now, the stars, the planets, and the night sky, is actually being stretched out. It's called the inflationary universe. The universe actually is expanding, and it's expanding faster than the speed of light. And it's an amazing thing that 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years before mankind discovered this with sophisticated telescopes, that the Bible said it. Pretty amazing. Christianity, we're going to see, invites challenge. It invites examination. It invites you to check out its claims. It doesn't want you to switch your brain off. It calls for investigation. Scientists tell us that everything had a beginning. Now, Christians have known this for a long time. It says, in the beginning, God created. Bang, there was a moment when there was nothing, and then God spoke, and everything came into existence. Now, scientists tell us kind of that's what happened. They put a word on it. In fact, they call it the Big Bang. Now, don't think of it in terms of an explosion. Don't think of it in terms of out there in space, there was nothing, and then, you know, as Stephen Hawking says, you know, cosmic energy and physics got together and went bang, and everything just came out of that. Don't think of it like that. But think of before there was anything, there was God. And then God spoke, and everything from that moment came into existence. And from that moment, referred to as the Big Bang, all matter. Do you know what matter is? You're sitting in it. It's what you can feel. All matter came into existence.
You're listening to the 5 Proofs for the Existence of God with Dr. Andrew Corbett. For related material, we invite you to view the website findingtruthmatters.org.
Everything has a cause. There's an argument was developed in the 1400s, actually. It's called the Kalam Cosmological Argument. And it says this, everything that is came into being. Everything that has come into being has a cause. Therefore, the universe was caused. That means something outside of the universe. And if you understand what's called Big Bang cosmology, which means scientists say that a long time ago there was nothing and then there was something. And at that point, that beginning point, at T equals zero, that's the beginning of time, all time began. All energy came into existence. All matter came into existence. And distance, because you've now got objects, came into existence. So energy, space, matter, and time came into existence. And no effect is greater than its cause. No effect is greater than its cause. So, whatever caused time, energy, space, and matter to come into existence must be greater than that. So this is what we're looking for. We're looking for someone or something that's not subject to time. That word is called eternal. We're looking for someone or something that's not subject to space. That's called omnipresent. We're looking for someone or something that's not subject to power. In other words, they have all power. That's called omnipotent. Who could this be? Eternal, omnipresent, and omnipotent. Who could this be? Because that's what we're looking for. The second proof that there is a God is something that Richard Dawkins says, yes, I acknowledge this. And I can't quite explain it, but I know this. It can't be God. And the question is, how do you know it's not God? Because I don't like it, is pretty much the answer. And it's the argument from design. Design. The universe exhibits design. You know, the universe is so finely tuned that if Earth was just a fraction this way or that way in our solar system, life on Earth could not be possible. You know, there's the right oxygen, nitrogen, carbon dioxide mix in the universe for us on Earth for us to exist. In fact, five years ago, scientists counted up 630 or so things that were necessary to be in place at the same time in order for life to exist on Earth. About 630 things. Now that number's up way past 1,200 things that need to be in place at the same time in order for life to exist on Earth. And all of those things are finely tuned. The moon has to be a certain size in comparison to the Earth to stop the Earth drifting off, to keep the rotation of the Earth. The moon does that. The moon causes the Earth to rotate at a certain speed. The moon has to be exactly the right size that it is, has to be the exact distance away from the Earth that it is, and it has to be in proportion to the Earth, the exact distance and so on. Look, it's amazing. It's fine-tuning. The universe exhibits incredible design. It's as if someone's thought this through. The universe exhibits design. Charles Darwin said, if it can be shown that the smallest life form is indeed complex, my theory would immediately break down. Darwin's theory has broken down. The universe exhibits design, even down to the smallest cell in your body. Number one, proof for God, everything has a cause. The universe was caused. Secondly, design. The universe is designed. Thirdly, morality. You know, we all know right from wrong. We hear little children say this from the youngest age. That's not fair. How do they know it's not fair? Because there's something in us intuitively that knows right from wrong. And the Bible says God put it there. Here's the fourth proof for God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, if you don't remember any of these five, just remember that one. Because that's the big one. That goes beyond any natural explanation. And the Bible says that Jesus died. And when Romans put people to death, they did a pretty good job. And just to make sure, you remember that when they were checking to see if Jesus was dead, they put a spear up through his rib cage, through his heart, to make sure he was dead. He was dead. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. That does not happen. And he was seen by up to 500 people. And if you read 1 Corinthians 15, you'll see that Paul says most of these people, or many of these people, of the 500 that saw him alive after he had been dead, are still alive. You can go and talk with them now. And here's the fifth proof for the existence of God. You can test the claims that God makes in your own life. You can invite Jesus Christ to be your Saviour. You can ask him to help you with the burdens, the hassles, the problems that you're facing right now. And he promises that he will. You can put this to the test. The psalmist said it this way, Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. You can actually put this to the test. And I've put this to atheists as well. I say, you don't believe there's a God? Nope, don't believe there's a God. Would you be prepared to pray with me right now and ask God to have his way in your life, whether you like it or not? Okay. Oh, dear God, have your way in my life. Do with me however you want. I want you to reveal yourself to me and take over my life. Amen. That's a gutsy prayer to pray. But it's a prayer the Bible promises God will answer. He will answer. And I hope that for those of us that have accepted Christ as Saviour, we've come to know him as the treasure of our life. No greater reason to live than to know Christ. Five good reasons why we know there's a God. Number one, the universe has a cause. Number two, the universe exhibits design. Where there's design, there is a designer. Number three, morality. We all have a sense of right and wrong. Number four, the resurrection of Christ. And number five, you can put his claims to the test in your own life. Thank you very much.
If you had doubts about the existence of God, I hope tonight's message has enlightened and challenged you. For related material, please log on to the website findingtruthmatters.org. Podcasts and other Finding Truth Matters resources, including tonight's program, Five Proofs for the Existence of God, are available on the website findingtruthmatters.org or by contacting Lagana Media, PO Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. We'd love to have you join us again at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.